I'm that same guy that was just right over there, so in case you were wondering. Remind Terry, it reminds me of the old days. Her first few months after I became pastor, Terry and I were the praise team for a while, weren't we, Terry? They always tease myself that they didn't plug my mic in, but they gave me a mic and a cord and just left it, you know, laying there and plugged Terry's in and turned it up. But they said, Jeff, you sounding good, buddy. Sing it loud. I want to, that song that we were just singing, Blessed Be Your Name on the Road Marked with Suffering. Hello. Do we realize that? Do we realize that even the road marked with suffering, that His name is still blessed? That He is still God? No matter what we're going through and no matter what we will go through, He is God and He is King and He calls us His child and we are precious to Him. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Anybody know what that, before you get there, anybody know what that passage is? Say it out, somebody say it loud. I'm hearing it, but y'all are wimps. There we go, the Great Commission.
The Great Commission.
That's not how we're supposed to say that. It's the Great Commission. This is Christ, the resurrected Christ, speaking to us. And He was speaking directly to His disciples, but He's speaking to us, to all who would believe in His name. He is speaking to us. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's a verse that you need to put to memory. You need to remember Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is the Great Commission. That needs to be one written on your heart. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now I like the way that starts out because He's basically saying that I'm in charge of everything. You belong to me. Now listen to the rest of this. Therefore, and I remember I've told you, what do we do when we see therefore? We back up a little bit and see what it was there for. I forget who told me that once upon a time, but I like it. When you see therefore, He's making a point. He's saying, remember I said it's my old programming days we had in COBOL. We had the if then. If this is true, then do this. Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, period. Therefore, if you belong to me, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we kind of forget and stop there. Yeah, make disciples, baptize them. Yeah, we got it. But He goes on to say, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There's this implication of growth, isn't there? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we are absolutely humbled by you. We cling to you. We cling to your feet. We cling to the old rugged cross. You are our hope. You are our salvation. And we ask you now to send your Spirit. Send your Spirit upon this place. And Father, I boldly ask you to send your Spirit in me and to speak through me. May your words be my words. May your thoughts and your heart, your mind be my thoughts, my heart, and my mind. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in power and authority, and change us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago. I said something about we have a dog named Suki. I know it's a Japanese name. You have to talk to my daughter about that. We have no Japanese ancestry, to my knowledge. Suki. She's a mess. Well, Suki had 6 pups here a while ago, a few weeks ago, and I guess now maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were able to pass one of those pups off to the Landry Robinson and her family. And what a joy that was. As I was thinking about this passage today and praying through it, the Lord just kind of revealed to me that Suki had another lesson for us. When those pups are born, by the way, that's just the most incredible thing in the world. If you've never seen, you know, anything being born, that's just an incredible thing. But we've gotten the pleasure of seeing about 4 litters of pups being born at our house, and it's been a real joy. And anyway, these little pups come out, you know, and then immediately they find mama and they begin to nurse. And sometimes, you know, you might have to nudge one over in the right direction and get them nursing. But they begin to nurse. And when they come into this world and there's this new life, they begin to nurse. And that goes on for a while. And the pups are just really helpless at first. Their eyes are not open for about 10 days or so. And they're absolutely vulnerable to the outside influences. And boy, you can just see that. I love to see the instincts of a mama dog kick in and just protect those pups. It's a wonderful thing to see. But what I want to talk about is there comes a time after a few weeks when those pups have grown and they've matured, their eyes have opened, they've gotten stronger, and they can finally walk around and tend to themselves a little bit. And you begin this process of weaning the pups and putting them on solid food. And sometimes some of the pups take to that quickly and easily. And it's a pretty natural thing for them. But some of the pups don't want to give up that nursing. They don't want to give up mama. And it's so hilarious. It really is. I'll try to be the least graphic that I can on this, but they we go outside, and after they've been, we've really tried, you know, we're really winning. Mom is, you know, the pups begin to get teeth. That's not a good thing for mom. And they go outside, you know, and they're running around, and mom she knows that it's time for the pups to be eating solid food. But they're still trying to chase. They're chasing mom around the yard, and every once in a while she'll stop for a second, and they'll grab hold, and then she'll take off running, and they're dragging behind. It's just pretty hilarious, pretty hilarious. And we haven't lost any pups to that, you know, dragging death or anything. But there comes this point when the pup needs to stop nursing. It needs to be on solid food. Hello. I guess I want to ask us before we get rolling here. Are we on solid food? You know, we become, when we're babe Christians, as we come in, we're really, really very similar to the puppies. We're vulnerable. We're really almost helpless, and we're relying on these other people to nurture us and to teach us and to keep us safe, and we should at whole time we should be growing and learning like the pups. And there comes a day where it's time for solid food. It just is. We're completing our sermon series this week on dying with Christ. The dying. If you've missed the other pieces of that, each one of the letters in that stands for something, an acronym for deploy, invite, nurture, and this week finally equip. We are to be equipped for Christ. This great commission that Christ gave us. He said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them." Do we do any of that? I mean, I want you to ask, we've got to ask ourselves that, church. Do we do any of that as people, as disciples ourselves? Do we make disciples? Are we about teaching them, equipping them, bringing them along, nurturing them? An equipped Christian. Now remember, as we talk about the church isn't, as I think Audrey said it in her prayer, the church isn't a building. The church is us. We are the church. And so as I speak of anything having to do with the church, we need to point right back at ourselves, because that's what I'm really referring to. An equipped Christian is spiritually mature. Now, as we talk about this equip, we should not only be an equipping church that's about God's business, equipping disciples, teaching them, but we should also be an equipped church. I don't know if that subtlety is coming through between the difference. Equipping, this is something that we are doing. Equipped is something that we are allowing to happen to us. An equipped Christian is spiritually mature. Now, if you know anything about the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, if you know anything about that, he was all over that. This was John Wesley. He called it many things. He called it sanctification, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. He called it Christian perfection. He called it this holiness, pursuit of holiness. But we're going to talk about that word sanctification for a minute. And I want to just this is kind of, we're taking a little side tour here, but I want to teach you this. John Wesley broke down grace into these different components. Now, God's grace is God's grace. There's not necessarily different types of God's grace, but there's these moments, these stages of God's grace, if you will. The first thing is that Wesley called it, as we talk about this spiritual maturity, is prevenient grace. And prevenient grace is this act of God passionately pursuing us even when we don't know it. Did you know that before you became a Christian? And if you're coming here today and you're not quite sure that you are a Christian, if you're not quite sure what you believe, did you know that God is pursuing you? He will never slam down your front door and barge in. No, it says in God's Word, He stands at the door and He knocks. But He's pursuing you like a passionate lover. And I know that may rock somebody's world that I said it that way, but that's the way He pursues you. He has His eye on you, and He wants relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you, and He is passionately pursuing you. And Wesley coined the phrase prevenient grace, happening before we even know it. And then there's this moment where we call justifying grace, that Wesley called it justifying grace, where we are to be made in right standing before God through Christ. It's that moment of, we call it being saved or conversion or whatever different things that we can say there, but it's where we say yes to this God who has been pursuing us all along. We say yes. And we receive the redemption that Christ accomplished on the cross. He washes us white as snow, and so on and so forth. Now, here's the mistake we make as Christians. We think that's the end. That's what we do, church. We think that's the end. That's the finish line. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's not the finish line. That's the starting gate, church. Did you know that? That's the starting point where Christ can actually begin to use us, and He can begin to equip us, and He can begin to teach us and empower us to be the church. It's not about getting your ticket. You hear me say this often, because I believe that we miss this as the church. We miss this. It's not about getting your ticket to heaven. That is a That is the starting point, this justifying grace being made in right standing before God through Christ. Now, finally, this spiritual maturity. Wesley coined the phrase sanctifying grace, this idea of this grace, this God's grace, where the Holy Spirit is perfecting us. He's equipping us for our purposes today. You can use that word. He's perfecting us to be like Him. Now, I was talking with someone this week, and the analogy came to me as I was visiting with them this week is what Christ wants for us is. It's if you I never really did this, but if you ever worked with like antique cars or something that people restore, and I can just imagine this craftsman that can do that. And I know where's Jesse? Jesse, I know Jesse's done some of this. Jesse's hiding, he's ducking. I see him back there. But restoring these old cars, and I dare say Jesse was a craftsman. He knew how to restore these old cars. And the thing, that's what Christ wants to do with us. He wants to restore us into this perfect specimen that where we match up with Christ. And I was struck by the fact that it's like this craftsman who discovers this old, he sees the potential in this vehicle, but it's old and it's the motor's seized up and the seat covers are ripped and there's dents all over it and there's rust. But he rolls it into his shop and he puts it on his workbench and he goes to work. Now that's what Christ wants to do with us. But here's the difference. We have feet. We can walk off the workbench any old time we want to. You see, those old cars don't have a mind of their own. They can be drug in there and they can be placed on the workbench of the master. And they'll be at his disposal. They don't have a choice in the matter. We do. We have a choice. An equipped Christian is spiritually mature. Listen to some. I want to touch on a couple of scriptures here. In 1 Corinthians, I think these are in your notes for your review later. 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Are we grown-ups in our faith? Are we still children? Are we still wanting to be nursed? Are we on solid food? Listen to Hebrews chapter 5. The writer of Hebrews says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain. He's trying to give them some deep theological perspective on things going on in the church, in their life. And he's saying, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Man, they even had babes in Christ in the biblical days. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again, insinuating that they'd already done it and done it and done it. But they wanted mama's milk. They weren't concerned about solid food. You listen, he goes on to say, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Righteousness, this holiness, this pursuit of Christian perfection, sanctifying grace. Second thing, an equipped Christian, not only is an equipped Christian, church, equipped and mature, but they help others become mature. Ephesians, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Do you hear that? There's this, again, that expectation for growth, that expectation for action. It was, in verse 11, it was He, which speaking of Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Once again, this expectation for growth and maturity, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Are we an equipped church? And Audrey mentioned the children. Now, I'm just gonna say it. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'm going to say it because I feel the Lord's telling me to say it. Guys, we got to step up with our children. I'm just laying it out there. God, do you see the children God's bringing to us? When we first started, and I put out an email about this a few weeks ago, when I first became pastor 8.5 years ago, and a couple of years later, Carlene became youth pastor, children's pastor, and she came in, and she said the first week in children's church, she had 6. A couple of weeks ago, she had 31. I don't know how many she has a day. She has felt a leading to expand the children's church, to bring in some of the older children, and she did that a while back, and to split off into younger and older. Well, you can't have someone who's 5 and someone who's 10 trying to teach them the same lesson. You can't do it. So she split it off into 2. She needs a couple of workers in each one of those groups every Sunday. She's trying to make it so that we can rotate every 8th week. Do the math. 4 a week times 8. I'm pretty stupid, but I think that's 32. We have about 10 that have stepped up and said they'll work in children's church. We need 32 minimum to do an 8-week rotation. Well, what happens is Carlene's running around like a chicken with her head cut off trying to get it all done. And I've told Carlene, you know what I told Carlene this week? I said, Carlene, you can't do it. Can't do it. And she said, yeah, but the children will miss out, and the children this and the children that. I said, Carlene, you can't do it by yourself. And I said, here's the alternatives. People step up. And we keep our expanded children's ministry, and we keep ministry. We're not interested, as Audrey said, in babysitting, but loving these children into the kingdom. People step up, and we keep growing, and we keep flourishing. Or we cancel children's church. That's what I told her. We shut her down. Obviously, it's like if I'm saying we want to take a mission to Africa and nobody signs up and I keep saying, no, we're taking a mission to Africa, we're taking a mission. I'm like, finally, you kind of go, I don't think they want to take a mission to Africa. So we're going to cancel the mission to Africa. So that's where we are as an equipping church. And I know that, I'll tell you, we do so many things so well. So I don't want to discourage you. I am absolutely blessed beyond measure to be a part of this church. And so many people step up and do so many things well. But we are lacking with our children. We're lacking people that will step up and be equippers. Love our children into the kingdom. The third thing, an equipped Christian is prepared for the trials of life. You know, that's, you know, again, that idea that being a Christian is about getting your ticket to heaven and all that. You know, in the meantime, this world is tough. I talked about that last week. This world is tough. Jared's still here. He had a sick baby this morning. I don't know if he's still here, but we were talking about the youth. I just want to kind of share my heart with you about some of these ministries going on, but man, we think about our youth and we think about these, and no offense because I've been a youth, I've been one of the bozos, but we think about these mullet kids that are just swinging off the chandeliers when we think of youth, don't we? Man, they're just, you know, climbing all over everything, man. My dad used to say, you tear up a brass ball. That's what we think about youth. But let me tell you about some of the things that's been going on with our youth the last few weeks. They have, a couple of weeks ago, Jordan and Jared encouraged the people to begin to come up if they had issues in their life, to come up and pray or be prayed for. And these kids, so many of them are broken. Their world is shattered. Moms and dads that are splitting up or not splitting up, and moms that have died, and then a year later dad dies. I mean, these are kids in our youth group, and where, you know, moms are in jail, and I mean, I could go on and on. These are broken. These kids need Jesus. They need to understand that. In Christ, we are prepared to face whatever the world throws at us. He will sustain us. They need to know that. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us that solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Jordan and Jared are teaching these young people that you will know what good and evil is. You will be able to face any trial that comes your way. And they're loving on each other. It's amazing how those kids are praying for each other. Some of these kids, and I'm trying not to divulge too much, but some of these kids have attempted suicide. I mean, we're talking eighth graders. Attempted suicide, thought about suicide because their world is just out of control and mom and dad aren't getting it. They don't hear it. They're not listening. Something. Maybe mom and dad aren't even around. Major stuff that our kids are dealing with at young ages. Church, we got to step up. We got to step up. And it's time to get on solid food. It's time to be on solid food. The time of just thinking that it's about coming and being blessed and, oh, I love that song, I didn't like that one so much, and all of this kind of stuff with church, the time for that is gone. This world is messed up. It's serious out there. And these kids are right in the middle of it. And these small children are right in the middle of it. We don't think about a little 5- and 6-year-old having those kinds of things to worry about. But they do. And we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to, I didn't bring one up. Can I see one of the inserts, please? Very quickly, I'm gonna go through. You can read this for yourself. But on the back of your insert, part of our Dine Ministries, I've listed the Equip Ministries there, and a lot of those are things about worship. Part of equipping us to be the body of Christ is to come and to worship together. And so we've got so many things that pertain to that, our worship leader and our technical guys and so on and so forth. We have things I've already mentioned, the children's ministry, the youth ministry, the college ministry, and women's ministry, men's ministry, so on and so forth. You can all see them listed there. If you have questions, where is Audrey and Jennifer here? Audrey and Jennifer, y'all stand up just a second where they can see you. Audrey and Jennifer, that's good, thank you, are heading up our... Okay, if you want to stand longer, that's okay. Sorry, I didn't give you enough FaceTime, Audrey. I'm sorry. But Audrey and Jennifer are heading up our Equip team. And it's just part of us restructuring ourselves in the past where maybe you had an idea, how do I get involved in this? You know, you come to me or come to Billy. But I'm going to try with all my heart, I'm going to try to point you to one of these teams to get involved in the outreach. But you can see all the different things there that we are doing in our Equip ministry. If you're interested in participating in any of that or see some other area that you would like to add that's not on there, it's to see Audrey or Jennifer. You know, Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 25. We know it as the parable of the talents. And I'm going to summarize it for you. Paraphrase it a little bit, but he tells this parable where a master calls his three of his servants, and he gives He gives one of them 5 talents, one of them 2 talents, and one of them 1 talent. And he goes away for a while, and he comes back, and the one who had 5 had invested his talents, his or her talents, and had doubled, now had 10. And basically, the master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Same thing happened with the person who got the 2 talents, invested it, doubled it, got the same response. The person who got the 1 talent took the talent and buried it in the ground. Is that where ours is? He came back and brought his 1 talent to the master, and he presented it to him, and he said, "Look, I've taken really good care of this talent that you've given me, and I still have it, and here it is with no return." And here was the master's response. He said, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. And throw," this is the words of Christ, "throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Do you think God is, that this is pretty important to God? For us to grow, to be equipped, and to be about equipping others. I'm happy to report that all 6 of Suki's puppies got off of nursing and are doing well and on solid food. And man, you ought to see them play. You ought to see them be a dog. They grow, they're growing, they're jumping. Every day is a brand new experience. They're just excited to be on solid food. They're excited to be a dog. Are we excited about being Christians? Are we on solid food? Let's pray. Father, we, first of all, we confess to you our slothfulness, Father. And I don't point out, I put that right on myself as well, Father. I confess to you that I have not been obedient with all the gifts that you've given me, all the things that you want me to do, all the things that you want me to share. Sometimes, Father, I'm lazy. And I ask your mercy on me. I ask your mercy on us. Father, I thank you for the conviction of your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now that there are people being convicted to push away the milk, to begin to feast on the solid food, to be all that you've called us to be. I pray for conviction, Holy Spirit, right now. And we praise you. We praise you because you love us when we respond and you love us when we're slothful. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand as we close together with another old great hymn, "Victory in Jesus."
I heard an old, old story, our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory!
Eat some solid food this week. May the Lord be with you. Go and tell someone in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.